Seeks Adventure, all about cars, bars, eats, and adventures, with your hosts, Brad Fanshaw, Dave Merrick, and Heather Storm. Learn how to drink like a man, dress like a man, eat like a man, drive like a man, act like a man. Every episode is adventures and misadventure. Hey, I'm Brad Fanshaw. It's another edition of Man Seeks Adventure, and I am here alone in the studio. Everybody deserted me. I think they've got other things going on. But then I found out that they were in cahoots. They were together. And Heather and Dave, Heather and Dave are on the line because Heather made it back from Chicago, but she's going to tell us about her tales of woe because Dave was trying to come to her aid to pick her up, to get her to the studio, but none of that worked. Hey, welcome, guys. Good to have you on the other end.
I did pick her up. No, I picked her up.
Dave did pick me up. However, we didn't make it to the studio because we got delayed at the BMW dealership. And I learned a very important lesson, which is don't turn your lease in on Sunday.
You know, I felt that when I was walked in. And Heather looked at me like, what the fuck?
I've just been sitting there for hours. They told me to just come on in. It would just take about 30 minutes. That would be super simple. And the whole process is supposed to be really simple, but you have to first be able to see the person.
So there's a lot of progress. So what you're saying is there's a lot of guys there that if you want to buy a BMW on a Sunday, it's good. But if you want to return a BMW on a Sunday, not so good.
Seriously, there were plenty of people there to sell you BMW.
I would say that. It's true. Because Leonard came up to me and said, hi, I'm Leonard. And I said, hi, I'm looking for Heather.
We don't have a Heather on the sales staff.
And then he saw me in the corner, hand on my chin, just sitting there like, I've been here forever and I haven't seen anyone important yet. So.
Well, and I went to the front desk and I said, I'm just here to pick someone up. And they said, oh, she's down at the end. She's coming back sometime. I was like, okay, great.
So now we are just driving around in the car, and Dave is showing me all of the cool bars in the valley.
We went on a tiki bar hunt, and we think that we should do a tiki show at some point. Like the best tiki bar in LA.
Take a peeky at the tiki bars?
Yes, that's right.
Where we go around and drink a tiki drink at each tiki bar.
Could do that. We could do that. But probably after the first bar, we should probably Uber around instead of driving around.
Yeah, definitely safe.
Because, Man Seeks Adventure is always responsible, and don't drink and drive.
Absolutely right.
No, it's not worth it. You know what? It's just not worth it.
It's not.
Why not? Why is it not worth it?
If you want to be able to drive again, have a job, save your money, have something you want.
Yeah, Dave, you want it to be that you're returning your BMW, not having it seized and taken away by tow truck. Yes.
Yeah.
As we look at a truck that's got the thing down, I think they're towing the car.
Seriously, getting towed in LA is the worst.
There you go.
It is the worst. Although, I heard that getting towed in Chicago is even worse because you go under the city with the towing.
Oh.
The tow yards, aren't above the city like normal. They're, underneath.
That is something I
So the cars are in the catacombs?
Yeah, basically. Because in Chicago, you have a lot of parking underneath Lineal Park. There's a huge parking structure underneath. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a good place. Yes, they do the tow yards underneath, too. So when you go down to pick up your car, I haven't experienced this. It's down underneath the park under the street.
I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Brad, so occasionally we're going to interject as I show her somewhere. We just went by Granville on Ventura Boulevard, and I said, so Nick works the morning bartending shift there if you're looking for her. I know Dave. Yeah.
If I need a morning drink.
That's right.
And I've met Nick at another get-together.
You met Nick at the birthday party.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's now, so you guys are literally mobile. You're moving around. You're not stationary. And you're on a little...
Well, we can sit in the car, but it's really fucking hot.
So it's like the, instead of the Star Tours, this is the Stir Tours, like stirring a cocktail.
Exactly right.
Yeah, so right now we're on Ventura Boulevard, and we're headed, we see Rocco's Tavern on the left there.
Well, it would actually be Bar Tours, not Star Tours.
Yeah, the Bar Tours.
There you go, Bar Tours, yes.
Yeah.
Even better.
Star Tours is good. I know, that's pretty good.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, Ventura Boulevard of the Valley has really upped its game in terms of bars.
No question.
Over the last 5-10 years, you know.
And I've heard.
Have nothing. I've heard.
I agree.
You definitely don't know for sure.
Well, you know what I showed her, Brad? I showed her the Barrel. And I said,
oh, I love that place.
Brad texted me one day, and he goes, hey, I'm at the Idol Art. What the hell? That's like my hood. And I couldn't come meet him. I was somewhere.
I had a pitch meeting at Universal, and then I go, well, I'm close. I'm in the neighborhood. I'm going to go, man, you know? So, hey, speaking of shows.
Open.
What's that?
They were open, too.
Yes, they were. Hey, speaking of shows, somebody in our trio has their show premiering this week. Tell us all about it, Heather.
I can't
talk about my show.
I think you meant me, Dave.
I have
a show. Garage Squad. Oh, my God, you guys, this has been a very long season. I've been filming for the past 5 months.
I know. You've been gone forever.
I know. It takes so long to fix up one car, and then that's because this year we're an hour instead of a half an hour.
Ah.
So we are showing so much more build. The stories are bigger. The builds are bigger.
Wow.
There's just a lot more going on.
But wait a minute. So why are you gone for 5 months if each build's only an hour? I mean, that's 10 episodes? That's 10 hours,
ten
Heather.
Shows, that's
yeah.
10 hours, right?
10 hours
I'm with you.
Of viewing pleasure. However, the
true
labor
that.
Behind that 1 hour of viewing pleasure is about a week per car.
Yeah.
Eight people working on it. I mean, we are working around the clock to get these cars done.
Brad did a pilot for a show, and he asked me to help him out. And it,
sizzle reel, yeah.
We had a car done in like 6 hours.
Just you two?
Yeah.
Just the crew that I put together for the sizzle. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But it does help when you have one 69 Camaro in bare metal and then another one for the finale that's all done. You just roll it out of a different garage door.
We took it out of the oven.
The old swabberoo.
That's right.
Of the oven. Oh, and by the way, here's what it looks like done.
Right.
Macaroni and cheese.
Right.
And it just so happened that we had this balls to the wall artist named Dave who drew it like the car that was done and painted, so it was like amazing.
I know. It was like, who'd have thought that we would have a car that looked just like what I drew?
But you guys, I think our viewers on Garage Squad would definitely catch if we swapped out the car because they catch a lot of things. We get emails, I get Facebook messages about what happened on this very particular thing where that one push rod was sent, and you know, I noticed a scratch on the right rear. You know.
Those guys need a light. By the way, we just passed Casa Vega, which got shut down for some kind of animals.
I wouldn't go there.
Just throwing that out there. No offense, Casa Vega.
So this show, you know.
Allegedly.
One of the things about Garage Squad this year is that instead of just interviewing just the family, Joe Bruno and I also get interviewed. So we get to help tell the story through some of the interviews rather than just, we had a lot of voiceover before.
You did do that? Oh, I see.
We just tell the story. And this time we really get to get into it. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm really excited.
So you guys get to get in front of the camera and talk about maybe like one of the hurdles you had to get through or owner told you or something like that, Heather?
Or what we thought when we first saw the car. You know, we get to give our opinion about what we were thinking or, you know, we get to give a little bit of what we worked on in the car, kind of direct camera, and then you show us working on it. So we get to tell the story a little bit more with the hour, and it's really nice. And a lot of the stories are really just, I'll tell you what, guys, there's some tear-jerkers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, who is actually on Garage Squad? Not, I know you are, but what?
My co-host?
Well, you have builders, you have...
So, yes, so who makes up the team is myself, Bruno Massel. He's a drag racer.
I know Bruno.
Okay, so he's the other, he's the male
host. He's the NHRA voice.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know that, Dave?
And then we have our...
No.
Oh, yeah, that's...
You never watched my show, that's fine. Have you seen this guy?
I should probably watch this show.
I mean, at least
watched
one episode. Yes, he's been on it all 4 years. You've only been through 11 pre-seasons now. This is the fourth season.
Wow.
And I am not on the first season, so don't bother watching that one.
Okay.
Yeah, and in defense of Dave, he does watch the show, but he fast forwards except for when you're on camera.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank you,
I don't know
Brad.
If I believe that.
Well, and also when I'm at the track, I think, how does Bruno Massel make money? What is he doing?
he's a busy guy. He's a busy guy. So it's he and I. The lead builder is Joe Zolfer. He owns Prison City Choppers. And then we have the three mechanics, Cy, Ronnie, and Kingster. And they're on there working. I mean, they work around the clock helping us out on everything. So that's who. And then we work with the owner. So the owner and maybe an owner's friend of the car.
Okay.
So we work in their garage. So basically, someone's missed their car.
You don't touch their garage, though? You don't garage makeover?
We don't garage makeover. That we hope to just move some stuff out and make room to work in there.
Got
so they submit their car. They get chosen. We go to their house. I see the car for the very first time. Joe has already gone and looked at it, so we know if we can do the car in a week, because, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into choosing the car. And then we show up, we evaluate the car, we get to work, we pull the van in, unload the tools, start tearing it apart, and figuring out what we need to do.
So you can't tell us what the tearjerker was?
Well, it's just the story behind these cars. You know, everything is about the story of, like, why the car means so much to the owner, whether, you know, their dad passed away recently or... something. So a lot of times, you know, because the car's been in the family for a long time, there's a lot there to it. So
they're that kind of tearjerkers. They're not like, oh my God, rats chewed up all the wiring, or the quarter panels and the floors are completely rusted out. So you mean they're tearjerkers like other things? Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's when we bring it's at the end of the story is actually when it's like everybody's happy and there's kind of tears of joy of they finally got the car running again,
And we all cry because, oh my God,
it's so exciting, right. I mean, some people haven't ever seen the car run, you know, like they grew up on it playing as a kid, never run, and it's their grandfather's truck or something, finally gets running, you know, it's a big moment for a lot of people, so honestly, for us too.
And this premieres when?
And this is going to be this week, August 30th, 10/9 Central, on Velocity Channel. Say yes for the car channel, everything cars. You guys know that.
So that is the new season. The new season of Garage Squad. And how many episodes did you do? 10?
We're 10 episodes this season. Yeah,
okay.
10 1-hour episodes.
So
every Wednesday night.
So they're getting double the pleasure in Garage Squad this season. Yes.
Double the Heather.
Double the Heather. There you go.
How about that?
Very cool. What was the?
Not enough.
What was the?
Some people might say it is.
What was the? Now I know. Can you say what your favorite car was this season that you got to work on?
Oh, it's so hard to pick favorites. Everyone always asks that, and it's really hard to pick favorites.
Did you do a fire truck?
We didn't do a fire truck.
Okay, what was your least favorite to work on?
Like, you can't do that.
Oh, geez. See, look at this.
You know, let me think about this for a second.
What was your least favorite garage?
Okay, we did this Ford F3 truck.
Okay.
This night, I think it was the 30s truck. What? Oh, my God. So cool. That
freezer's
was one
cool.
of my favorites. Yeah, that was really, really
That's
cool.
the cab over engine? Was it big, tall?
Yeah, back? Really big, tall.
Yeah, that's a cab over engine. Those are cool.
Huge. I mean,
those are awesome.
And it was all rusted and so cool looking. The 1950 Ford F3, that's what it was. Super cool. So that one, the story behind it was cool because his grandfather, the guy's grandfather used to train his horses for that truck.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know.
And you said you guys did an LS swap in a California Ferrari, a 65, I think, right?
I don't think so.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Not this kind of show.
No, I like that.
You haven't seen my show, Brad.
That'd be controversy. Come on, that'd be controversy, Dave. People would be like,
that was last season.
Yeah.
All we're doing is getting the cars running again. I mean, this is what makes us different from it. There's a ton of car shows out there.
There are.
But a lot of the car shows are, you know, putting $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 into these cars and, you know, souping them up. And we're just rescuing them. We're getting them running. We're getting them to go down the road. And that's about it. You know, we're doing it.
And you find a nice family and they live happily ever after.
The family's happy and they all.
The difference between most car shows and this one is that most car shows, as Heather said, puts 20,000-30,000 an episode into the cars. This one, they put 20,000 or 30,000 into the host, you know, and she gets every episode. So
we can't pay for the car. let's just get some cheap ass car.
Hey,
we don't have a huge budget.
Now tell us one more time when the show debuts so everybody can find it, and we'll put it on our Facebook page as well, guys.
That's right. We will. It's going to be Wednesday, August 30th. It's this week at 10, 9 Central on the Velocity Channel. It's Garage Squad, and it's 1 hour. So you guys got to tune in.
And if you're
the show?
Garage Squad. Garage Squad, Dave.
Garage Squad.
Garage Squad, Dave, on Velocity. And if you're listening to the show sometime into the future, you can always go back and look at past episodes, I'm sure, and find Heather on there. So they're on demand?
They're on demand.
Yes, and they're going to be on demand because of Discovery Communications' new association with 10 Media. That's what they did it with. They've already got shows
on
demand. Hey, speaking of shows, I know you weren't on the last episode, Heather, because you were filming, but Dave and I talked about how they're rebooting the Munsters.
We talked about you.
Yes, we talked about you as well. But we also talked about they're rebooting the Munsters TV show from the 60s. And Dave and I I had reached out to the producer of the show and said, hey, the iconic cars that were on that show are going to have to be rebooted as well. I can do them. And I actually got a response. And so Dave and I are like, oh, we're gonna design those cars. Well, I don't think Dave even knows this yet, but Starsky and Hutch is in the works as well. And they are working on a new producer? Starsky and Hutch, and then the producer is James Gunn. And from Guardians of the Galaxy and all kinds of other stuff.
Yes.
And so I reached out to James Gunn, just kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I said, another car show, a show that people remember the car more than the show, and I said, you're going to have an iconic car, and he got back to me. So,
really?
Yes.
I'm telling you, Brad is like Trump, man. He's tweeting all the time, and he tweeted he tweeted at the show, and fucking Vin Diesel tweeted him back.
Yes, Vin Diesel tweeted me back, yeah. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, because they're doing Miami Vice. What I do if I see a show's being rebooted that had an iconic car, I just reach out to the guys and I say, listen, man, Dave and I could design those cars, come up with ideas, pin them up, and build them. And Vin got back to me, and because Miami Vice coming back, and I mean, come on, that thing was built around the car. So was Starsky and Hutch. So was the Munsters.
Starsky and Hutch. That was a 76 Gran Torino.
You got it. Yep.
Red, white.
Red and white.
With that iconic stripe down the side and slotted Anson mags.
Right. Now, would you do the same car, or what would be the plan?
The movie did the same car. I think we.
No, what you know what I was thinking? Why not? You know, Ford really doesn't have anything that you could put them in, unfortunately, because a Mustang just isn't right. Because if you think about it, the reason they used the Gran Torino was because of the fact that it was semi-cop cars, because they were using four-door Gran Torinos as cop cars. So why not?
It was plausible.
And Dave, I haven't run this past yet, but why not a Starsky and Hutch version of the Hellcat Charger?
Oh, yeah.
Tons of horsepower, total performance car, and they make Chargers out of into cop cars, right?
Here's what I would say,
they
Brad.
Yeah, they do. Oh, so you're saying they did this? Sorry, I'm just catching up.
No, it's okay.
Because the cop car, they wanted it to match the cop car.
You wouldn't put them in a Camaro back in the 70s because cops didn't drive that. It was almost like they went into the detective's lot, pulled a car, and made it kind of hip, right? So you'd do the same thing.
Right.
I think you're a genius.
Yeah, that's the Charger.
Holy crap, that'd be amazing.
The only problem with that is, I was thinking about it, is that does Chrysler have any more money left after they've hired Vin Diesel to do all their ads?
Maybe not. Too bad he's not producing.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So, but
if you know the Charger has that door panel, you could do the white stripe that
exactly.
way.
You could totally do it, man. And we just update it a little bit. Just update it a little. You know, it'd just be so cool, you know.
I love it.
So anyway.
You know what? Hey, George Barris, let me ask you this. Brad's going to be the next Cars to the Stars.
There you go.
I love it.
I'll have to get a gold Wraith, a solid gold Wraith to drive around.
Garage Warriors or something?
Yes, I hosted. It was What was the name of that show, Dave? I'm going
Car Warriors.
Car Warriors. You screwed me up with Garage Warriors. Yes, Car Warriors.
Warriors.
Yeah.
Car Warriors.
Car Warriors. But no, it's cool because what's cool about it is in the past they've rebooted some of these shows, but they never. Now they're bringing in contemporary directors that really might do it right.
You know, movie guys.
Instead of doing spoofs.
I've got to interject again because remember we're driving.
Yes.
I just want to tell you that Al's Discount Furniture is going out of business.
Oh, you're kidding.
Really discounted.
4900 Lankerson Boulevard, and the time is running out. I just want you to know right now.
Now, you might have to
circle
back. Is that going out of business or going out for business? Because there's a furniture store.
Going out of business.
Because I had a furniture store up the street from me that was going out of business for 5 years, and I went by one day. And the little bitty in between, it said going out for business. And I was like, you know.
Nice.
So, marketers.
That's the fine print.
That is the fine print. Hey, while we're on, while you guys are down in the valley, you're near Hollywood, and we're talking about TV, I got to bring up something. Did you guys ever watch The Science Guy, Bill Nye Science Guy, when you were growing up?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I was already old by then, Brett.
Well,
I
was too. I was too. Heather's the youngster. And
I remember him.
Okay. Well, you know that he did a reboot of his show, and he's been on TV again and stuff like that. I mean, were you aware of that? And
I've heard about that, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, from the hashtag Who Knew department, I just read in the Hollywood Reporter that he is suing Disney for unreported income from his last series of shows for $9 million. Who knew that Bill Nye, the Science Guy, was making that kind of dough?
Hey, well, you know, it is science. I'm making money.
I mean, he's suing for that. Doesn't mean he's been making that kind of money. It means he wants that money.
Well, you're suing for what you're owed.
No. What it said is it said
fees on top of it, right?
Well, it said it was a percentage of unreported income. You know, and I'm going, okay, if that's just a percentage of his unreported income,
that means he's making a shitload.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
Making some real bread.
Look,
I mean, that's like,
what the hell?
That's like Judge Judy. I mean, you know, you hear about some of these people and they make so much money. I mean, what's Judge Judy make?
What is reported income?
That's a good brand. I mean, he made a good brand. He made science popular.
He did.
I can take a couple pictures.
The Big Bang Theory owes him.
Yes.
They do. There's the retro dairy. Hey, so, by the way, Brad, on our tour, as I drive Heather around, we are passing the location of Diamond Dave's birthday party.
Oh.
Joe's All American Great American Bar and Grill.
Been
there.
The
tour bus was parked right
there. Oh, right there. Okay.
Yeah, there it is. Right there.
Oh, there's Joe's.
Yeah. Live music.
You could have been there. And then as soon as Dave's... As soon as the...
showed up thinking Heather would be there.
The birthday house band. No. Yeah, they were disappointed because it was just Brad from the Man and Cece Venture show.
Well, I wasn't
going
to be there so that they would all show up.
Exactly. Not my first rodeo.
And the minute that... All right, Man Seeks Adventure / Dave's birthday band walked off the stage... Being Elvis Monroe, you could have taken line dancing lessons, Heather.
That's right.
Oh, is that what you asked?
Absolutely right.
And I'm sure Elvis Monroe was fantastic.
They were pretty cool.
They were awesome.
I'm humbled and honored.
They're blowing up. They're doing great.
Dude, it was awesome. And, you know, the thing was, and I digress, but it is a radio program. Literally, when they have a song about the gist of it, is wish you were here. And so I had gotten up and talked about Alan because my birthday parties the last 10 years have been Alan playing, and then he passed away after my last birthday party. And so it's been like, how do we fill those shoes, whatever? And of course, I said that nobody could fill them except Elvis Monroe, and then they sang that song about, you know.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was so good.
And Alan was Chung. Help me here, Dave. What was the name of his? Chung King Buddha or Buddha?
Baby Chung King.
Okay.
The Buddha heads, yeah.
Yeah, the Buddha heads.
Baby Chung King and the screaming Buddha heads.
Okay, your friend who was in a band would play every year for you.
Yeah, he was like the preeminent blues guitarist.
Oh.
Played with Lass, played with B.B. King, played with everybody. Yeah, so it was big shoes to fill, but Elvis Monroe, man, they were so great.
Yeah. You know, they are. They're great. Yeah.
It was a good party. You missed it. And then you both missed him at the beach, but I was there.
Well, in Charlotte said that Brian, and we love Brian, and he checks all the marks for a lead singer.
Yes, he does.
Looking tall, like stylish, like crazy clothes.
Well, that's good because he is a lead singer.
Yeah. And he did, checks all the boxes.
Yeah. And an all around nice guy.
Yeah, too, no, he's so, awesome.
You know what?
He's great.
That's the only box that comes back, the asshole box.
Yeah, look, you know what? I, even if he was, he's cool enough to get away with it.
They're such great guys. I mean, they've been really cool. And hey, speaking of rock stars,
they're our house band.
There's another musician. I don't know if you've heard of her. A young lady by the name of Taylor Swift. You ever heard of her?
No.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
that's his name, isn't it?
She's over her lawsuit now about the ass grab. That's all behind us, and she won that. And her new adventure that I read.
Look at this. I'm in Burbank.
You're in Burbank.
This is a cool saloon.
I think I was taking Brad there. It's the one with the swinging doors.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, that's
in
cool.
In Burbank.
I'm going to show her Tony Stark's way. Anyway, Taylor Swift.
You know, they swing both ways at that place. Heather.
Yeah.
Is that
the doors. No, the doors. The doors.
I'm comfortable.
The doors.
I'm comfortable in masculinity. I am comfortable in masculinity. I can go anywhere.
Exactly. So, hey, so I read this weird oddball thing that they're going to put her face on the side of UPS trucks. And I'm like going, why? On the side of UPS delivery trucks. And I'm like,
for what purpose?
Exactly. I had to read the article because I was so enthralled with why would they put Heather, Taylor. Why wouldn't they put Heather on this? Why wouldn't they put Manzik's Adventure, our mugs on the side? And you know, and it said that it was some deal with their management that they are the official carrier of her new album delivery, that it only gets distributed when you order it by UPS. And I'm thinking, okay, number one, so some guy put, hey, we're going to get her face on the side of all these. Number two, it's one of those like, how many people actually order CDs anymore and have them delivered by UPS? Don't they just download them?
CDs?
What's a CD?
CDs? No one orders CDs.
Exactly. And that's what they were saying. Albums and CDs will be delivered only by UPS. I'm thinking, which 90-year-old guy executive at UPS put that deal together, you know?
So there's 10 trucks and you're done.
And who's ordering Taylor Swift CD?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like
she has a young audience. I
don't know.
Maybe her audience is so young. And maybe it's that her audience is so young, Heather, that when the grandparents buy them for the grandkids, they bring them to them. They go, oh, thanks, Grandma. Yeah, I do like Taylor Swift.
I feel like if you are thinking anything about CDs, you're thinking the wrong direction.
Wow.
I mean, we're moving from USB ports to those small little ports. I mean, technology's
USB
going forward.
3. USB 3.
Yeah, right?
But isn't UPS kind of still brown?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess
kind of dated. I don't know. It's kind of...
Like they need some to spiff it up?
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, so... That's where they really need some help, because whoever's doing this is like going, you know, oh, yeah, we're kind of doing these old things. It lacked any correlation, and that's why I brought it up. It just seemed so weird.
Yeah.
Somebody marketing at UPS is, I don't know where their brain is.
Is old and outdated, yes. I mean, it's like.
That's
they obviously love Taylor Swift.
Well, how can we look more youthful? Let's get Taylor Swift on the side of our truck.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Some executive wanted to take his kids, his daughters, to Taylor Swift, and now gets all the backstage and the meet and greets and stuff like that.
Well, that makes more sense than anything else, because honestly...
Well, I really like the dude. I think that's cool.
Why do we need to... I mean, UPS, we know what UPS is. I mean, they don't really even need advertising, right? You have UPS, you have FedEx. There you go. Mail something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. You got two choices.
You have Amazon.
You have Amazon to order everything from.
Well, and that's mail to me.
That's what you, yeah. I know.
And it is no different than auto racing, where many companies get involved because the top executives like, you know, in Indy cars, or golfing, where, you know, the top executives golf, and so they sponsor golfing. Right. You know, it's it's the same thing. It's like the top.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like the top executives that like Man Seeks Adventure, so they sponsor Man Seeks Adventure.
And, right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? UPS needs to get on the boat here, man.
They
man
do.
Man Ships Adventure.
Yeah, but see, yeah, what would they ship, though? We don't put our show on CDs.
We good point.
No, it's only on iTunes, you know?
Well, but you can ship an iPod, I guess.
You know what? You guys... there was a big fight this weekend. I don't know if you heard about it. It was
it's
kind of touted.
Know, I'm sorry I beat that guy up. Damn it.
I know.
It even the bar fight.
Yeah, you know. I'm a
Dave,
lover.
Dave, we're not talking about the bar fight. We're talking about the McGregor and Mayweather.
Ah.
Yeah. Hey, when he talks
before we get into what happened. What did you guys think just before I just want to know what you guys
You mean
thought.
Just before the fight?
Yeah, like before it happened, before the fight even started.
I couldn't tell you because when they interviewed him, I couldn't understand half of what they said because he was, you know, and he's got that really thick accent. And then he was talking. And if we had him on the show or something, we'd probably could. Yeah, we'd have to subtitle it somehow.
The translator.
Yeah.
I can't understand a word Brett's saying right now.
That's right. That's my point.
Me mother.
No.
Me mother spoke like that, so I'm good.
I will be honest. I didn't. I thought Mayweather had an upper hand on it, but I was not sold on that. I was like, I just
going
don't
into
know.
The fight,
going into the fight.
I thought McGregor was going to die. I did. I thought he's going to punch him, and he's never been hit like that, and go, what happened?
But
you know, guys, I always kind of root for the underdog. I did it on the last Mayweather fight. I thought Pacquiao, I was all for him. I always kind of go for the underdog because I really want to see them. You know, I honestly want to see Mayweather get crap.
Well, that's part of it too.
I have fun to get him.
There is that.
Beat up that guy.
Yeah. He needs to be taken down.
He needs to be taken down 50-0. I mean, come on, get him out.
Yeah, I know, but you know, he's the champ, man.
The fact that they had press conferences like all across the world to promote this, I think, is genius.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I just think. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I just said more to him.
I kind of was like, you know, kind of conflicted because of like what you said, Heather. Yeah, Mayweather, he's the big talker. He's, you know, the guy's done everything. But when the fight started and they were four rounds in and McGregor was really, I mean, you know, he was doing it. You know, he was making connections. He was the aggressor. Then all of a sudden I was like, Come on, Mayweather, land one, you know, just to get a fight going here. And then all of a sudden, McGregor just, you could just see, got winded. He was out of it, you know?
He did.
Right. He wasn't used to that. He just wasn't used to it. And he was, well, he's used to using all different types of methods. That's what I mean. That's what I was going to get. That's what I'm going to say, Dave. It's like when it's like you know your arms get tired, you use your legs. Yeah. Your legs, you know, you go on to the ground, you take them down, you use different methods. You can rest different parts of your body.
You know, in McGregor's defense, he said that today.
You did.
He did, and I'm proud of him because he said I was totally winded in the middle, and I need to train better. I don't know how that happened, but I got tired.
Yeah, but it is. But along the same lines, I mean, come on, boxers have used different methods. Look at Tyson's. You know, he would bite ears off. You know, he would bite ears off. Come on.
But Ali did rope a dope forever, where I'd rest against the ropes, man, and get them tired of punching, and I'll just take them down.
But they knew how to rest for boxing style.
Exactly.
He's not, because he's used to resting with his UFC style, and it's just totally different. So, I mean, I knew it was a long shot by rooting for him, but regardless, I was still kind of rooting for him.
I would guess he'd be the one who would kill me in the race.
Yeah.
And I outweighed him by a lot.
Dave, I'm with you. They would kill us, but... You know what? If somebody said I had to go four rounds with them for, you know, the $60 million that McGregor got, I'd be there. I'd be there.
Hit me hard.
How many million?
He got 60, and
for lasting four rounds.
For being there, and Mayweather got 200 million. So
he can go bowling.
So you know that what's going to happen is there's going to be a rematch, and they're both going to get $500 million to have the big rematch.
Oh. That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Wow.
And it's but how about those pile driver and hammer punches that McGregor was giving him? You know, every time.
Oh, no, I thought it was great. I thought if he could have not, maybe his theory might have been, if I can take him out in the first three rounds, I'm good to go.
But he's pounding him on top of the head, and the ref's coming over. You can't do that. This is not MMA, you know. I was laughing, you know. Or when he tried and get it behind him.
Well, that was the contract, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the contract that he couldn't do MMA stuff.
Right. Well, and then he kept – it was just in his nature. It was just so funny because
– exactly. It's you know, it's just muscle memory.
When you train your whole life to react in certain ways, you're going to react that way.
By the way, we're going by Viva Fresh, which is one of my favorite bars. We're in the horse country now.
How fresh is it?
It's so good. It's
drinking fresh.
A gigantic margarita.
Oh, we might have to go there.
No, now wait a minute. You guys can't even do that to me. That's not even fair.
He just sold me on giant margaritas.
Heather's going, why is this say horse lane only?
Yeah, what is the deal? We're on this big wide road in the valley, and it says horse only, and it's a lane on the side for horses.
See, there's the high horse. Yeah, after high horse, then,
there's a high horse bar. Is this a big horse area?
Yeah.
It's a what area?
Horses. Oh. There's horses.
Not the red light district.
Yeah, that too. We're by Travel Town, like Griffith Park. The back of Griffith Park.
It's the north side.
North side of Griffith
Park. We want to get specific.
That's right.
Okay, Dave.
For those listeners out there, we're on this very large street. In the valley, there's horse signs everywhere. I don't actually see any horses.
We could go back.
There are a lot of horse signs, and there's a lane specifically for horses. And we're in Los Angeles, in the middle of the city. To me, that's a little bit strange. I've never seen.
I bet Garcetti lives around that area, and he has a horse, and so he just taped off some lanes for himself.
See that?
Yeah.
They've been there for a while, though. This has always been, like, Horseville.
Really?
Yeah.
But I don't see, I have to say for the listeners, the houses that are around here are just normal houses. It's not like there's any horses or horses.
No, when you go into the back, there is. There's stables.
Nah, I call it horse shit.
No, there are no stables of these houses right here.
If you want to, we're going to have to get out of the car and go into Jim and Dana's house. And you can see their horse stable in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
Of these small little houses?
Yeah, all up and down here, then.
This is a regular neighborhood, normal-looking three-bedroom, four-bedroom houses, and they apparently, Dave's saying they have horse stables behind them.
No, Heather, where you're mistaken is those aren't houses. Those are actually horse condos. And the people live in the big, they live up on the ridge. They come down to the horse condos.
Right. They're hondos.
They just have people that care for the horses and the horses there.
Or
they're, you know,
horndos.
But this is on Riverside Drive. I mean, I haven't been on this particular section of Riverside Drive.
For logistics for the listening audience, if we go up, if we go west a few blocks, that's Disney. The main district.
So we're east of Disney on
we're
Riverside
east
Drive.
We're east of Disney, but
well,
not very
you're,
far.
You're not that far from Griffith Park Stables either, so of course there's horses
no,
in there.
We're actually, I'm going to show her some horses.
I mean, you might see William Shatner around there somewhere, you know, riding one of his horses.
We just took a picture of Viva Fresh, which he goes in and drinks at occasionally.
That's why we're going to have margaritas there.
And you guys do understand that if you do see him, you have to hop out with a phone and put him on, okay?
Yeah,
well, absolutely. Well, Viva used to be like the John Wayne bar. It was all the Gene Autry, all of the cowboy guys used to drink
at
the back bar.
Well, that makes
There and another place that I've been to that was down there called Tale of the Cock. Have you ever been there, Dave?
I tell that story all the time. You know, I was born in the year of the cock. That's why I tell it.
I know. We went through that earlier in the show. Hey, you know what? This is a very appropriate time.
Oh, it looks like they're doing a cookout at Viva Fresh right now. They got barbecue out. They're doing some food.
This is a great show, Ben. Here we go.
Hey, this is a really appropriate time. I want to bring up something that we do have a guest in the studio today. And she's been listening in and you know, just doing a monitoring type thing. But my mom Rita is in the studio today.
What?
She came by to meet you guys and to get a drink made by Heather, but you didn't come in. Say hi, Mom.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't like it, Mom.
Hi.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Wait a second. That doesn't sound like your mom, Brad.
Mom, say hello to Heather and Dave.
Hello, Heather and Dave.
See, it's real.
Hi, Mom.
So,
hi, Mom.
Hi.
She's 85 years old. She's over here visiting. And last night, what time did you get in? Like 2:30, I think. She went out drinking. And
of course.
She went out drinking at 2:30?
Well, she went to the fight, and, I mean, she went to a viewing of the fight, met some people, and then went over to their place and partied really late. You know, she's that kind of person, you know?
No question. It's genetically.
Yeah, where do you think we get the man seeks adventure type attitude from? But I just want you guys to.
I like your mom already. I wish I could meet her.
Well, the thing is, Brad, was it not hot enough in Phoenix? So she decided to come here?
Well, she came over here to cool off and then found out that it was just as hot and humid. So, but no, she's been sitting out by the pool, reading her books and just enjoying. But the highlight of her trip was going to be to meet Diamond Dave and Heather and have one of Heather's world-renowned Man Seeks Adventure cocktails. But, you know, I even brought an extra glass for her today, but. It just wasn't meant to be.
You know what? Can she turn Heather's car in for her? Because that would work.
you know what? I heard something about a pool, and I'm wondering why we're not doing Man Seeks Adventure
at the pool.
By a pool.
That's a really good
Well, question. We could do it poolside at my place anytime. But
absolutely. Cocktail in hand, poolside Man Seeks Adventure.
Man Seeks Adventure pool.
That's the adventure I'm looking
swim
for.
Swim up bar and everything, you know? And,
Now you're talking.
But,
I'll make the drink of the day.
There we go.
Swim up bar.
That'd be awesome. So,
really.
But say goodbye to my mom. I'm going to turn her down and say goodbye, Mom.
Okay, bye, Mom.
Bye, Brad, Mom.
Bye. Nice talking
Mom.
To you.
All right.
You have a beer.
So,
go get your
and give George one.
So she's in studio listening. I got to set a headset on her, and she's listening in. I told her, I said, "Oh, it's so cool. They'll come in. They're so nice. You'll be able to watch us. Now, be quiet. You can sit and watch us. And then Heather will make the drink." She was so excited.
We're not nice.
She got up. I think like I don't know 4 a.m. or something. She was getting ready. She goes, "Does this look all right? Do I look presentable?" And I'm like, "Oh, Mom, you look great." She goes, "Well, I mean these are celebrities I'm meeting today." And I said, "I know."
Right.
And then. Then no you guys acted like total celebrities. You didn't show up. See?
It's the perfect move. It is the perfect move. We could be up.
See, now we are still an enigma.
Yes. Hey, you know what? We talked about drink of the day. What is the drink of the day?
Drink of the day!
Do you know what time it is? Drink of the day.
Drink of the day!
That's right. It's drink of the day!
Did come up with a drink of the day for the fight that we talked about. It's called TKO.
Oh!
Yeah, because there was a TKO, you know. I made it that. And so, it's going to have some blackberry.
Okay.
It's going to have some, we're going to do kind of a bluish black, like you got bruised up.
Like a blue.
Yeah. And it's a smash cocktail. So basically, we're going to smash some lemons, blackberries, and basil in a glass. Take them a little, just smash them up. Add some ice, add some bourbon, add some simple syrup, shake it up, and then just dump it right in the glass.
Wait a second. We're going to add bourbon?
Yes, we
cool.
are.
Cool. I'm good.
Yeah.
Sounds good
so
to me.
It's a bourbon blackberry smash.
So do you have one of those mobile bars right there in the car that you're mixing it up, or what?
I'm not drinking, of course, because I'm driving.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually could video this.
How do you do quotes on the radio? I don't know.
Yes.
What? Didn't we do we did a Manhattan? What did we do at the auction?
That was Manhattan.
Manhattan, yes.
And it had bourbon in it, right?
Yeah.
Manhattan should yeah
good
rye
to go
in it technically, but I think she made it with bourbon because she didn't
rye. Rye.
No, that sounds like a tasty drink and appropriate. A knockout, black and blue, smash.
That's right. Mash it up and just dump it in your glass. I mean, because it's easy to make. You don't need any fancy straining, nothing fancy.
I like it.
You know, you can get out some aggression, just muddle that stuff up if you need to, and then drink it down.
That would probably be great for the people that lost money on the fight, and they can take their aggression out on that cocktail. Yes. So
they were having a little bit of a drink while they were watching the fight.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we didn't have it out yet, so now if you lost money on the fight, you take your aggression out on the smashing, and if you won, you can cheers and toast with Man Seeks Adventure in your corner.
That's true. Well, what do you guys usually drink though when you watch a fight?
Beer.
Me too. Beer. Yeah.
Brad
doesn't drink beer though.
I'm not a beer drinker that much. So
what is the deal with that?
Well,
he drinks beer. No, he just doesn't choose it.
Yeah, but I've got to stick with really light beers because I'm allergic to the hops. So they make me feel like I've got the flu, you know?
Okay.
It's not that I don't like beer. It's just I drink really light beers and not a lot of it. And so, like last night, I had me a little Bulleit and Diet Coke with some lime while I watched the fight.
I believe that's in the car right now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we have both bourbon. It's way back there, out of reach.
Yeah, I can't drink it out of the.
And it's unopened with the seal still on it. Yes. So.
It's unopened. It is 100% safe.
Because we can't reinforce enough: do not drink and drive. This is Man Seeks Adventure. I mean, this is unique. Most people won't tell you this, but don't drink and drive. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's not good in any way, shape, or form.
It's not good for anybody.
No, not good. Anyway, so. So, you know what? Let's roll this. Before we do, hey, everybody, don't forget that our drink of the day, the TKO, will be, as always, can be found the entire way to make it, so you can make it at home, and photograph of it will be on the list at manseeksadventure.com, and we'll always put a photo of it up at our Instagram on Man Seeks Adventure. But, Dave, you son of a gun. You went up to Monterey this year. I didn't get to go for the first time in like 12 years. And and everybody was calling me, hey, Brad, where you at? It wasn't like, hey, you coming up? It was, hey, where you at? You know, and I couldn't make it up. So you got
it. It was lonely without you.
I know. It was lonely here not being up there. But tell us all about it. Tell us about the race car you guys debuted and everything else.
Cool. I loved your tweet, though, about how, you know, all the parties, all the cars, all the things to do. Thank God I didn't have to go to that. Or whatever you said, something like that. Well, I think that, you know, honestly, the whole weekend, because we kicked it off with that car. So for everybody out there, we debuted it's called the DPA car. It's Daytona prototype car. It's a real race car. And we can put a picture of that up, too. But it's literally, we had at our party, Roger Penske, who is going to run the car, who was, if you've ever met famous people, you know, in the car world, there's nobody more famous than Roger Penske, probably. The absolute, absolute nicest guy you will ever meet. And just genuine and just cool and hanging out and going, hey, let's go look at the car. Let's talk about the paint scheme, all that stuff.
And for those of you that don't know racing, it's the same Penske that's on the side of your Hertz rental truck.
Or your dealership. Or
yes,
whatever.
Right.
I mean, he owns everything.
Right.
It's in your Ford pickup with a diesel because he owns Detroit Diesel.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, this is what the guy did. He literally moved to Detroit. I said, you know, I had commented to him about how cool it was that he this is Bob's big boy, by the way.
Yeah, this is
Friday
car
night cruise night.
Yeah, this is
anyway, he literally moved to Detroit because he bought Detroit Diesel, and I think, holy shit, you know, most CEOs would just go take care of that for me as a company, but he moved there to take care of it and build it. But he literally, so we debuted the car, and it's a real race car, and it's already testing fast, and it's like, oh my God, this is the real deal. So we kind of said, you know, there was another car company there that had some faux history, they were calling it. They'd made a race car that didn't exist, and I heard a comment of somebody say, well, you know what, how about making new history, and that's what we're doing right here with this car.
Nice.
And literally it was, you know, around the paddock at the racetrack and at Quail, all the things you know, and it was on the lawn at Pebble Beach.
It was. Wow. Okay.
Ridiculous.
Cool.
It was just, like, crazy. But all of the all of the events that you go to were all, you know, just really, really cool.
Better than they've ever been, right?
No, I'm going to tell you, honest to God, Brad, and you know I love you. If you were to pick a weekend not to go up there,
yeah,
this was the one.
What?
Because there was no mark at the
track.
At the track, and somebody asked me. They said, "What do you think the mark was this year?" I go, "I think it's the Lotus Formula 3 car," because that's all there was.
That's crazy.
I mean, it was dead. It was kind of like really low key, which is probably good for us because our car was spectacular at the track.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was at Pebble itself. There were a couple of journalists there saying, "I don't know what to say. Is there anything that you think would be a winner here?" And I'm like, "Well, I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh, hell, this is the Red Door, by the way.
The Red Door.
Well, the Red Door is a bar behind the restaurant. You have to know it's there.
Oh, is this behind that Mexican restaurant?
It's behind
the horse stables.
Foreman's, I think. Yes, it's behind the horses. Horse of that. But anyway, I think, you know, overall it's great. And the promotion for us was amazing because the car looked so great. And it was, you know, kind of a captive audience. And the fact that there was not so much eye candy everywhere that we kind of stood out. So I thought it was
amazing. That's great.
Yeah, it was really cool.
No, that is good. You planned
the
well.
Stuff. Adam came to the party and was coherent, which I think you would have enjoyed.
And he told me that Jay Leno came in and spun through too.
Yeah, Leno came down. They were both there at the same time, which was really cool. And Roger Penske, so you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. That's nice.
Hanging out with the big boy.
So it was pretty good. But you were missed.
Well, thank you.
Because I always have to go to, you know, it is. It's easy to, you know, just contemplate what do you think of that, what do you think of that with you because of like mind. Kind of.
Now, I'm gonna toot your horn because you're not one of those guys that talks about it, but Dave was honored again and will be in the future as being a judge at Pebble Beach, which is quite prestigious, and it's a very select group of individuals and designers from around the world.
Yeah.
And Dave is one of those individuals.
You're actually judge.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the one day a year where I am just like crapping in my pants, like, what if I'm not worthy? What if I do something? What if I fuck this up? Kind of thing. So it's really weird that I do that.
And you were dressed quite stylishly, too.
I think everyone gets nervous about things when they have a lot of pressure. What's that, Brad?
And I said he was dressed quite stylishly, too. We put a picture of him up on our Instagram page with his light blue creepers and his, and his suit.
And those were Doc Martens. Everybody commented on my shoes. They were like,
they were cool Doc Martens. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It's like, hey, I'm comfortable and I want to be stylish.
What were the, were they like a Doc Martens? Were they a loafer?
No, they're regular Doc Martens.
Oh, they were.
But they're
like, what were they? Baby, like a lavender or baby blue or what?
They're lavender-ish. Yeah, they're more.
Well, they brought out the light stripe in your dark suit. Very nice.
That's what it did. It was really close to that. Yeah. Yeah.
And
we're in front of, I can't remember the name of this place, but I know it. It's one of these hidden bars that I'm showing Heather, so next time she goes drinking, she can.
Is it the bar upstairs?
No, it's right here.
Oh, okay, right here. Okay.
Yeah.
Where no one is.
Yeah, I don't
think
it's open.
Are at this other
I don't think it's open yet. It's got some nautical name. I can't think of it.
Oh, wait, I'm taking something. Bar.
It's the nautical?
Yeah, it's the nautical. That's it. I'll think of it. It's
so,
a clever name.
So, Dave, did you by chance out at the track, did you go over and see the recreations of the Shelby GT350Rs that the original crew are doing?
Yeah. It's great. It's really cool. So they do the things at the track. They had the Shelbys, and Singer had a big display.
Yeah, the most Singer Porsches ever in one place.
Yeah, it was cool because, you know, you got kind of these recreations, but also true to what it is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, that was probably the best part, I think. Honestly.
How much were those Shelbys going for? Did you grab that at all?
I didn't get a price. I did not. The Singers are like $200,000.
They're $300,000.
But you have to buy the car, so I'm throwing the car in.
Well, yeah.
You have to have the car ahead of time and then get the shit done.
I'm the first one to admit that I must not have my finger on the pulse, and I always think I do, but when Rob started those cars, and you know this, Dave, he asked me to come over when they were at ARIA, and Brad, you know, could you help me launch this car? And I helped put together the very first Monterey showing of those cars. And I was over there when they were being designed, and I was there a day when he was doing the flares on the rears. They were in clay, and then the clay designer walked out of the room, and Rob took a knife and started stabbing the flare, going, "It's not right. It's just not. He's got to redo it." And I'm thinking, do you know how much money you just spent to have that flare made, you know, on the hourly rate here?
Oh, my goodness.
But when he told
me to do a shout-out.
What's that?
That was Dave Harris.
Dave Harris.
That's the clay modeler.
Well,
Dave Harris. And he said, he told me, that effing fender, over and over.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. It was never right. But at the end of the day, he did something right because he was tuned in where nobody else was as an enthusiast. And, you know, Rob had the money from – he's a very successful musician overseas, and he had his money from that, and he put it into this, and it has become – just this iconic thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
No question.
And I didn't see it.
There's not a better modeler than Dave, but he's also, you know, what do you want? Just come do it. You know, I'm not the designer. I'm the modeler trying to help you through this.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of what it was. But Dave told me, he goes, dude, that was a bitch. It's like, okay.
Well,
hey, it
totally makes sense because the day I was there, it was just like, Rob, what are you doing? You know, it was like crazy.
Nice.
But
there's nothing better than a designer with a knife because that's what I do.
Well, it always, whenever I did one of my cars in clay and the guys were there, and it always drove me nuts, you know, I'd go, well, you know, it looks a little too fat right down here on the nose, and, you know, it needs to be thinned up. And to me, I think they're going to just shave a little clay off, and they go, okay, and they just take a knife and cut that whole section out, and I go, you know, and they're like, oh, no, don't worry about it. It's easier than just trying to trim. And I'm like going, you know, but it's interesting.
But if it looks right, it is.
Yeah, yeah. And if it doesn't look right, it doesn't look right. But, hey, enough about behind the scenes of car design. So, Monterey, you enjoyed it. Heather and I missed it. And of course,
I've never been.
You have not ever been?
Here, I've got to tell you a little bit of a story.
Okay, please do.
Well, you know the Thursday thing. And remember last year when I saw Bruce?
Yes.
And Bruce Meyer, you know, like the richest guy we know. And he said, there's the guy you should put it on camera. Do you have anything to say, Dave? And I said, put me in the will. And I would walk out. Anyway, I went into the Mulligan is the new Irish pub. I think it's on San Carlos. And it's on San Carlos. And I'm sorry, Brad. We're in front of Hotel Amarano and Harvey is the bartender there.
Okay.
And if you want a secret coolest bar, you go there.
I've never been there.
It's cool.
I'm learning so much.
It's so cool. And nobody would ever know. It's the hotel lobby bar.
Oh, really? This is a show in itself. We need to go on the bar tour.
I'm telling you, we can recreate it live.
Yeah.
So
anyway, the thing is, I went into the Mulligan. And you've been there, and you know.
Yeah.
So I'm in the Mulligan, and it's all locals, and we're all shooting the shit. It's like 12:30 or 1. And so I they were going to do shots. I go, you know what? That looks pretty good. Maybe I'll do a shot of Fireball. Let me buy theirs. And so then, you know, they buy me a round back, and I buy them a round of vehicle stuff. So then they said, "What are you here for car week?" And I said, yeah. And they go, well, you seem really cool. And I said, well, thanks. He goes, everybody else is assholes, man. They come down here. And so the one guy owns up the block owns a gallery. And the guy that was sitting next to him owns the beauty salon. And then another guy owns, like, Enzo's across the street, the restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So here's what they said. You know, I was on the street.
You're getting a local. You're getting a local,
total local opinion. But I was on the street where the Little Napoli is, you know, where the Ferraris put the red carpet and they park.
Yes, yeah, I know.
Exactly. The street off. So they said, dude, you should put NSXs on our block, up a block. And I go, next year. And they go, absolutely. You could use the gallery, put artwork in.
That'd be awesome.
This is all within like a half an hour. I'm like, dude, we're doing this. And they go, we own the block, man. I'm like, okay.
And that's what happens when you take shots with people.
That's right.
That's fireball diplomacy. That's what it's called.
That was it, man. Bill and Greg and Sean. And it was like, dude, these guys, they're my best friends for life now.
Well, you know what? It's funny because so they think everyone is, what, they're all pretentious and just want to get away with what they want.
Yeah.
Don't care about the locals that are there.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And you can come
in. Pain in the ass to park.
To them like normal, like a normal guy.
Exactly.
Not with your nose in the air.
It took me forever to get to work today. I couldn't park. I go, you know, you need a shot. That's kind of thing. It's my fault. I'm sorry.
Right.
I have a driver, so he didn't park. He moved out of the way. Whatever. But anyway, it was cool.
Well, hey, you know what? It's we're 1 hour exactly right now, so we got to wrap this episode up.
Yes, we do.
Heather's car is done, but you know what I think?
What's that?
We should make them wait. Those fuckers.
Yeah. But if you have an appointment, the guy might leave for the day because he's taking the kids to the beach at 2.
That's true.
This is backfire very poorly.
Yes.
I'm going to make him wait. I said, sorry, you can't turn your car in anymore.
Exactly. He left for the day. He'll be back tomorrow morning.
Well,
so.
We have a window between 12 and 4. It's like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
yeah, so we're going to grab a margarita.
So, everybody, don't forget, you can find us at manseeksadventure.com where you can get past episodes. You can see photos of everybody and all of us, what we're doing stuff. We put up on the list all of our great drinks that Heather comes up with. And just go there, check that out, and find us on social media and follow us at Instagram, manseeksadventure, Twitter, where you can't have a full adventure because it's just a man seeks adventr. And now, see, normally...
Kind of like this show today.
Yes. Well, see, normally Heather does the social media read and everything like that, but I knew she'd been out of practice, and she's not in the studio today, so I was kind of picking up her slack a little bit. So,
it's definitely an unusual show.
Yes, it was. But, Heather, what I do want you to say is tell everybody once again when your show debuts and then tell them your Instagram page because I know you do post photos from your show and like that there.
Absolutely. So, everyone, tune in this week, Wednesday, August 30th, 10-9 Central. You'll have to figure out Pacific time on your own. Velocity Network. Please follow me on Twitter, Heather Storm LA, across all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Heather Storm LA. And I do post a lot of pictures behind the scenes of the show.
What's the show?
Garage Squad. And you can see kind of, you know, I can't show the cars until airs. But you see me getting dirty. You can see me and the guys having fun. And follow me. It's a lot of fun.
But she sent me photos of all the cars they built, and I'm going to just pimp the whole thing. So go to my Bond Speed Brad Fanshaw on Instagram, and I'll just post them there. And don't follow Dave on Twitter. Don't follow Dave on Twitter or Instagram because he's got accounts, but he never posts a damn thing.
Follow Man Seeks Adventure or Brad. Or Bond Speed Media.
You know where you follow Brad? Follow Dave at the bar.
Yes. Don't follow me.
Well, you can follow Dave at the bars he's at by following him on Facebook, and you see everywhere he checks in. So
you can follow me for a little bit, and then you can eye it. That's so I've been told. Or as I've heard in Japan. You should go bar with Dave, and people will say good luck with that.
Yeah. So, hey.
You can all drink that.
So, for myself, Brad Fanshaw, and in the car doing a bar tour, not a star tour, but a bar tour of the valley is?
Simon Dave.
Heather Storm.
That's right. See, I don't know where this day is going to take them, but let's hope that Heather gets her car turned in and they get a cocktail.
Yay.
So, all right, guys.
That is the plan.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Man Seeks an Adventure. This has been a Bond Speed Media production. If you like this podcast, also check out Shift and Steer, and Dixon's Wild Ride. Subscribe to them on iTunes or visit their websites. You can reach Bond Speed Media by emailing bondspeedmedia@gmail.com.